almost feel like I have to say, and turn in your scriptures to Deuteronomy, but don't do that. We're going to be in Luke today. We've sort of finished up our Deuteronomy session. I should ask, at the three-minute rule, at the end of our service, when you have to greet someone that you don't know, at least for the first 3 minutes, after that first 3 minutes, talk to Kitty and Raleigh. They had an anniversary this week. How much? 56 years. So that is an amazing, yeah, that's worth a round of applause. My goodness. So make sure you give them a happy anniversary. But if you have your scriptures with you today, it begins in Luke chapter 15. It's called the parable of the lost son, verse 11. Simply says this: there was a man who had two sons. And I'm assuming you've heard the story. It's the prodigal son story. And I don't know about you, but I've heard lots of stories, and I've heard lots of sermons, and I've read lots of books about prodigal kids. But let me read it to you again, and we're going to be asking God to enlighten our imagination. But if you have your Bibles or your tablets or your phones, Luke chapter 15, verses 11 through the following. And Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger son said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' And so he divided his property between them. And not long after that, the younger son got together all that he had and set off to a distant land, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. And after he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in the whole country, and he began to be in need. And so he went and he hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to the fields to feed the pigs. And he longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one would give him anything. And when he came to a census, he said, 'How many of my father's hired men have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out, I will go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men.' So he got up and he went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him and ran to his son and threw his arms around him and kissed him. And the son said, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fatted calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And so they began to celebrate. And meanwhile, the older son in the field, when he came near the house and heard the music and the dancing, so he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. 'Your brother has come,' he replied, 'and your father has killed the fatted calf because he has him back and safe.' And the older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, 'Look, all these years I have been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me a young goat so that I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who has squandered your property with prostitutes, come home, you kill the fatted calf for him?' 'My son,' the father said, 'you're always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.'" Let's pray. Father, for the next few moments, I ask that you would allow our imaginations to work, that we would begin to see these images in our heads. And Father, we want you to be glorified above everything else. Would you allow me to disappear and let Jesus be more and more visible? Would the meditations of my heart be pleasing to you? And would you show yourself to be mighty this morning? We thank you for what you're going to do. We thank you that your presence is here with us now. Remove all the confusion and take away all of the obstacles and tear down every strong idea that wants to distract us from your word this day. We ask this in your son's name, and we expect you to move in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Most of us here today, when you listen to that story, you have a tendency to focus most of your thoughts and your energies on the son. The younger son that was wild and rebellious, he disrespects his father, he insults his father, he goes off and basically lives with hookers and hangovers and finally crashes and burns. The older son that was loyal and hardworking and obedient, But the reality, it's not all that it seems, because this older brother was angry under the surface. And one of the things I recognize as we read that story and think about that story, and even at this point in the sermons, most of us are having this internal conversation. We have this idea in our own hearts and minds, what am I like? Am I like the first son or the second son? Am I one of the rebellious people that are wild and disrespectful and adventurous and crazy and off the handle? Am I like that? Or am I like the older son who's loyal and steady and hardworking and does the right thing because it's the right thing to do? Most of the time, if we're honest with ourselves, no matter what camp we find ourselves in most, we want to settle, don't we, for the mixture of being both? I can remember when Tony Campolo, he actually had a ministry in Camden, and one time he was talking about how we've sort of distorted the whole idea of what good testimonies sound like. And he said he was at a church, and the girl was about 4 or 5 years old and began her testimony by saying, "And I have lived my life with darkness and woe." He was like, "This is a four-year-old. What has she done?" But the fact of the matter is, for a lot of us, we sort of, if you're raised in the church at least, you think, well, the second son, the rebellious one, has a much better testimony, right? Do you realize that both sons were looking for happiness and fulfillment, the younger by self-discovery and self-actualization, and that we see in our culture all the time. If we just experience greater things, we'll find fulfillment. The older was looking for happiness through moral conformity. It was right and reasonable and reliable, and he just believed if he kept doing those types of things, all would go well for him. But do you realize, if we look at both sons' hearts and attitudes, that both sons wanted the father's stuff more than they wanted the father? The younger son just simply comes out and says, "Dad, I don't want to wait for you to die. Give me your stuff now." Right? We hear that, but do you realize when the older son comes back and sees all that's going on, he looks at his father and says, "Dad, you never gave me the goat." Both sons wanted their father's stuff more than they wanted their father. In fact, it's interesting, the older son at the end, the father comes and says, "I have been with you always. Everything was yours." But before you sort of throw a stone at them, I don't know, when I hear those types of phrases, it seems to cause my heart to say, ouch. Because if we're honest with ourselves today, both of those sons are often like us. Because we want God's favor more often than not. Than himself. God bless us and take care of us. Watch over our kids and minister to those circumstances and situations. But how often do we say, "Father, I just want to be in your presence. You be my center." But for the next few moments, I want to ask you to do something a little bit different. I want to ask you to stop looking at the sons. And I want you to take a few moments and look at the Father. And the scripture says at the very beginning of this passage, a man had two sons. So even though for generations we've looked at this story and just said it's about the sons, the reality, it's a whole lot about the father. Notice what he's like. And you might read through the passage this afternoon and look through there and not think there's a whole lot there, but there's more than you could ever imagine. I mean, if you were to come and tell someone about this father, you could look at the scriptures and see that just in a general way, he was a good person. He was a good business person. He took care of his people. In fact, the younger son says, "Look, in my dad's home, all of my servants have more than enough." Here was a person, his father, even though he disrespected his dad, he looked at his dad and said, "This was a man that took care of his peeps. This was a man who took care of the people that he employed." If you look a little farther, you realize that the father has resources that he longed to pour out on his sons at the right time. This father had dreams and expectations for his kids. that went well beyond what their sons ever thought of. Do you recognize that? His father had grace and humility. See, I don't know if we've read this story clearly enough, but it seems to me as I've been reading through it and thinking about it within my own heart, do you realize that both sons greatly disrespected the father? And as I was thinking about that, it struck me that at least the younger son left town to do it. But do you realize in a Middle Eastern culture during Jesus' time and even in our own world today, there are some cultures where respect and honor is a huge thing. So that younger son goes, "Dad, I want all my stuff now." In fact, the idea he'd literally be saying is, "Dad, I know you're not going to die soon, but I wish you would so I can take this stuff and have some fun with it." That was the younger son's attitude. But did you ever notice what the older son does to the dad? You can imagine this feast, and you can imagine the father was there in the midst of the celebration, probably sitting in a place of honor, and he's brought all of his friends in, and there's been an amazing banquet they're enjoying, and the father looks out and sees his son on the porch sort of door looking in. I can almost imagine it. You know, I know they didn't have sliding glass doors, but the older son is pressed up against the glass, or at least standing back like this with his arms folded. Do you realize how much dishonor would have been taking place for the father, the master of the banquet, to stand up and walk across that banquet hall and walk toward that door, and everyone would notice the older son out there? And I'm sure they had some sort of conversation where the dad is saying, "Would you please come in? Your younger son is back." And how does the older son respond? Not with grace. He gets in the father's face and disrespects him in front of all of his friends and out of all of the community leaders. This older son looks at his dad and says, "You've never given me anything, and I've been loyal to you." See, do you realize that the older son embarrasses his dad in front of the friends and family and the community? It would have been a huge deal in Jesus' day. Do you realize the father had tremendous grace and humility? But of course, do you ever notice that the father was a noticer? Again, you need to use your imagination, but think for a few moments. Do you ever notice that it says when the son was a long ways away, the father noticed his son was coming? What's interesting is the image you have is that he was doing about his daily chores. The father was going about his business, but there was always a part of his heart that every so often, I'm sure, he'd look down the road and just hope that some son would show up. The younger son that he'd lost months ago would show up. Do you read the scripture? And when he was still a long way off, the father saw him. And he responds. Again, you and I have heard the story too much, and you and I have no idea what it would have been like to be in a Middle Eastern town in Jesus' day, but the head of the family certainly would ever, ever run after a teenage son or an older son that had disrespected him so mightily. What should have happened was the father would have noticed he was coming, and he probably would have just stood on the side and watched him and hoped that his son would grovel all the way home. But the dad notices his youngest son, and it says that he takes off. He sees him a long way off, and the father's filled with compassion, and so he runs to his son and throws his arms around him and kissed him. His dad notices and responds, and his dad knows what the son needs. He needs forgiveness, but he also needs restoration. And that's the whole story. Bring the best robe, put the ring on his fingers, give him the sandals on his feet. I'm going to restore my child into the family once again. But can you imagine that scene with the older son, and the dad is sitting at the banquet and looking around, and there's celebration and joy, and as he noticed, out of the corner of his eye, he sees his older son. He notices and he responds. He goes outside. Do you realize that in Jesus' day, at that point, everyone would have been groaning literally out loud because of the disrespect that the father would get up from his seated position and go outside and talk to his son? See, the older son, the father sees and responds to the older son because he was missing, just as the younger son had been. See, this dad cares more about his kids than he cares about the community. He wasn't worried about what people thought. He probably never thought of what Facebook would have exploded that afternoon. This last week, it just struck me that the father was looking to find both sons and to restore them into the family once again. An amazing passage. Yet how often do we lose sight of all that the father endured and did on behalf of his kids? It's interesting, if you read the story, that the younger son responds to the offer. The younger son takes that robe and takes that ring and takes that sandal, and you can almost imagine coming him into that banquet area and the joy and the celebration and the feasting and the restoration that the son who was lost realizes that his father has granted him, brought him back into the family and embraced him. What's most disturbing in the scripture and all of the passage, that all of us sort of leave the parable with the older son still sitting on the porch with his arms crossed, not being able or willing to enter in. In fact, we're all of us sort of sitting here thinking that the older son is still there, and you want to go back and, you know, you just wish the authors would have given you at least four or five more verses that the older son finally thought about it and came in and they had the biggest banquet they've ever experienced before. But we're not told that older son ever steps through the door. So today, the question isn't which son you are. The question is, are you growing to be more and more like the Father? So for some of you who've decided which son you are, let that go for a few moments and ask yourself, are you becoming more and more like the Father? The Father moved toward his sons with grace and humility. Do you and I move toward people with grace and humility? Do we notice people that are afar off and do we move toward them instead of ignoring them? Do we notice the people that are at the screen door looking in? Do we ever notice and respond in some way to go find out what's going on? The Father was willing to move toward the sons with grace and humility. Do we move toward people with grace and humility? The Father was a person of compassion. Are we people of compassion? Are we people that when we get up in the morning, we are trying to figure out how to bring restoration to relationships and homes and situations and people's lives? See, I never noticed it before, but the father was literally trying to get both his kids to come back and be part of the family of God, to be part of his family in a meaningful way. Are we people of compassion like that? When we go to Sheetz or Walmarts or wherever you find yourself and look about, does your heart ever get stirred with a sense of how do we bring restoration to our community? How do we bring restoration to our families? See, the Father longs to restore his sons. He longs to welcome them back. Are we a people like that? The Father, it says, notices. Do we notice people? Maybe the challenge today in the next few moments is to ask you to turn and look around, and if you notice that there's someone not here that's usually here, your job this week is to notice and respond and let them know that they were missed. Do you realize when I talk to people, sort of that exit interview thing, when those actually do occur every so often, people say things like, "No one noticed that I was gone." What if we began to notice people when they're gone? And do you realize when people begin to move and fade away, have you ever like not done something for a few weeks and realized how hard it is to get back to that? Do you know how hard it is? And some of you do or you don't, but you know, if you've missed church two or three or four or five times or six times, it's just hard. What if we became a people that noticed even the people in our church? And I wasn't even going to go there with this sermon. Because I think we need to be a people that are continually looking out and noticing our friends and our coworkers, like the dad did. To be like the Father, there needs to be a choice. And you have to be deliberate for it to work. So I want to ask you, let go of the son stuff just for a few moments, and are you growing to be like the Father? Are you noticing what's going on in people's lives, and are you practically responding to it? The scripture says this, that you know that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes became poor, so that through his poverty you might become rich. Do you realize that this is the gospel clothed with a parable? That we have a God that pursued us when we were at a distance. We have a God that goes out on the back porch and speaks to our hearts. But we have a God that notices the condition of our lives and longs to bring transformation and restoration. Wrote in my notes, oh, show us the way to be more and more like the dad and not worry about being like the sons. So this week, could you sort of every single day, at the beginning of the day or at the end of the day, just ask God to make you more like the Father? And if you're sitting here today and you're not at that place yet, or you realize that you're one of the sons, realize that God is pursuing and chasing you down. And he longs to restore you and ask you to come and enter the family. And it begins with a simple prayer of confession. Father, I've been running from you. Would you forgive me? Would you come in and be my Lord and Savior? And then the journey begins through scripture and prayer and belonging to the family of God. But this week, would you simply ask God to allow you to be more like the Father and more like him? Let's pray. Father, we come before you and you've called us to be men and women of grace and humility. You've called us to be men and women that long for the restoration of people's lives. You've called us to be a people that love our family and friends and neighbors so well that they begin to see Christ in us and on us and through us. And for a lot of years, I have seen flannel graphs of this story. And no one ever said to me, I'm supposed to be more and more like the dad. Because we've been so consumed with what the sons were like. But would you make us a church that we love well? Would you make us a church that we notice the people that are around us and those who are not? Would you allow us to go to work during the week and have our hearts break for what we see and hear and notice? Would you give us the courage to be a people of humility and grace? And would you teach us how to pursue when we just don't know what to do. But Father, I know that this is what you long to do in us and on us as a people. That we should be a people that long to restore and introduce people and bring them into the banquet. Father, would you give us the courage and fearlessness to do just that? Remember, my youth pastor used to pray, Father, make us a people that love the things that you love and hate the things that you hate. And his life was transformed. Would you do the same for us this morning? In Jesus' name, amen.